It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, and Luke Goody in the house.
Gigging frogs.
I don't know.
Do you gig frogs?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Okay. Have you ever gigged frogs?
Maybe a couple times.
Okay.
Not in recent history, though.
Derek's so like, when the, I don't the, even know what that means. Texas A&M says gig them, is that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. This segment brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First
Unless
Federal Savings Bank,
the
local,
frogs.
And trusted. That's a good point. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen, State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com and also by Carpenters Local 243. Luke, we were happy to do this last year. Great to have you back. How you doing, man?
Yes, sir. I'm good. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited.
You got going pretty fast there Friday night. You hit three jumpers in the first 5 minutes, baseline J, a couple threes. How'd that feel?
Yeah, it was good. All the excitement coming back into the season. You know, last year, everybody knows I was kind of out for most of the season. And, you know, I haven't played basketball in a while compared to a lot of these guys. So I was excited to get back out there, you know, excited to play in front of fans again and just ready to get the season going.
After what happened last year, is this game against Kansas the biggest game of your life?
Of my life, yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch. It's definitely a big game. We're looking forward to it, but it is an exhibition, so we'll put that out there. But no, we're excited. I'm excited, so it's going to be a big time atmosphere on Sunday.
That'd be funny if like Luke was out there for blood, you know, because he got injured. And
made it personal. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you saw Bryce Harper doing the stare downs after the home runs. Maybe if you did that to Bill Self after you hit a jumper by the. Yeah, the opposing
he'd probably
bench.
Be a little confused. He probably wouldn't know exactly what I was doing, so I'm sure he's gotten a few stare downs in his day.
Oh, there's no doubt. That's awesome.
I played your intro song during the starting lineup, Chris Young, Underdogs. You were in the starting lineup with Ty and Terrence, Coleman, Marcus. What'd you make of that group and you getting the nod for the starting lineup?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we compete day in and day out for. But it's also something that, you know, you kind of got to look at it in a different sense. You know, we have 8, 9, 10 guys that could honestly start on this team.
Yeah.
And that's what we say every day in practice. You know, we go out and compete every single day, you know, all 15 guys. And on this team, basically everybody could start. So, you know, having that is pretty cool. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things like, you kind of got to look at everybody the same. You know, everybody has capabilities that you can come out and do. And, you know, it is pretty cool, though, to hear your name called and come out to a song. So,
why should you start, you think, in your mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a good team defender. You know, I'm very vocal. I'm a really good connector on offense, can shoot the ball, obviously spread the floor, and I make good decisions. I feel like, you know, I'm one of the smarter players in the conference, if not the country. You know, I use my mind for a lot of things to make up for the – let's say lack of athleticism for a simpler term.
I'd love to be unathletic like you, Luke.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, not as athletically gifted as other players in the Big Ten. You know, I have to use my mind.
There's levels to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, my basketball intellect definitely helps me. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, I can have a big role on the team. So
you and Marcus seem to play really well off of each other, especially in those opening minutes. He had a hustle play. I think he grabs an offensive rebound, hits you for a three. You find him in the corner for one, and kind of maybe some of the same things you're just talking about there in terms of IQ and feel and everything. It seems like he does that really well too. Are you seeing that in practice or out there in that game that you two can kind of complement each other in some good ways with that?
Yeah, it's really hard to guard when you have two, you know, 6'7" wings that can shoot the ball.
Wow.
You know, he's a career 36-37% three-point shooter, and I don't know exactly what my number is. Let's just say 40, you know, make it sound good. But, you know, when you have that ability at the wings, especially with drivers like Terrence, Ty, you know, when Quincy comes in the game, he can really get downhill. You know, Draven, all the guys that – you know, our attack first guards, Sincere. It spreads the floor, you know, and I'd say he's a great decision maker as well. You know, he's ended the half with 5, 5, and 5. He's basically doing everything. So when you put that out there, you know, with the ability to shoot the ball and the high intellect, I think it's it plays really well off the other guys that we have on our team.
It shouldn't still blow my mind, but it blows my mind that you just said there's 2 6'7" wings. Like, that was the center when I played. Yeah. It's amazing that, you know, there are 2 6'7" guys roaming the three-point line.
And that's without mentioning Terrence, who's 6'6", and our two guards. So, and Ty, who's our point guard, at 6'5", 6'6". And then,
unbelievable.
You know, Coleman at 6'10". So, we've got some length, you know, in that group.
Pipes, before you get to, hold on.
Ahead.
I got to break this with Luke. I just got to break it because we're talking about Damask. So you've always been my guy, Luke. I mean, you just, everybody knows that.
Yep.
This is Lon's guy. They text me, like, they'll tweet at me, like, if you have a big game, oh, Luke had a big game and everything. Damask is from SIU, which is my alma mater. So he's kind of my guy too. So are you going to be okay if I got two guys this year?
Yes, we can share your favoritism this year.
All right, that's perfect.
I'll give that up to Marcus.
You're going to be like, you know, the mom of a
I'll have the
two NFL two players jersey. Like a split jersey.
Split it down the middle. I like it.
The dumb goody or whatever. You know, or something. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Better not go dumb goody. No, let's don't do that. I'll figure out how to do that. Yeah, that'll be perfect.
Go mask.
There we go.
See, this is why you're. Why you get paid the big bucks.
Luke, you've probably, to an extent, gotten tired. I'm sure a lot of people around the program gotten tired of hearing about last year's 3-point struggles. And I know that you being back full time now can change that. You hope that some of the new additions this year can change that as well. But I mean, how important is that for you to come in and be a big remedy to that, where last year that was really lacking?
Yeah, you know, last year I think one of the biggest things was shot selection. You know, Coach talked about that a lot in the media, I know. And this year it's really focusing on getting better shots. You know, we did have capable shooters last year. You know, Sky can shoot the ball. You know, when he was here, Jaden obviously can shoot the ball. You know, Matt can shoot the ball. Coleman, I mean, we had good shooters. We just weren't taking the greatest shots. You know, that is attributed to the offense and kind of how the offensive game plan is set up. You know, this year it's a little bit different. We're looking to get our shooter shots. You know, we've worked on ways to spread the floor, get Terrence to his left hand, and ways to open up shooters, stuff like that. So I think our focus this year is more on, you know, shot selection, getting the right shots, getting the right 3-point looks, and, you know, focusing on that.
You were in that Kansas close scrimmage, obviously, last year, and it sounded like you were playing well in that. Kansas is changing a little bit because a guy named Hunter is now going to be wearing their jersey. But what do you know about, number one, a Bill Self coach team, and then some of the guys that they bring back, like DeJuan Harris, Kevin McCullough, or some of those other guys?
Yeah, they're super quick. They're always going to have a fast team,
oh, yeah.
A really loaded roster. You know, they got the best talent in the country. So when you bring a big guy in from, you know, the Big Ten that's been putting up double-doubles and every year he's been in college, you know, it's going to make a big impact. So I've never had any ill will towards him. Always thought he was a good player. You know, he was cool on the court, so never had an issue with him. But, you know, Kansas is – they're always going to be good. They got a great point guard that has been doing his thing in the Big 12. DeJuan Harris can really – I would say one of the top 5 point guards in the country, honestly. You know, outside of what I would say my teammates. But he's going to do a great job. They got great wings again, Kevin McCullough, I know. So we just got to be ready. You know, I think we can match them talent-wise. So now it just comes down to who makes the least amount of mistakes and plays the hardest, you know.
You mentioned it there that, you know, you were fine with Hunter. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. I mean,
you're right.
I know Illini fans do like the fact that he's never beaten you guys to this point. What was that like on the court? I mean, the Orange Crush dogged him quite a bit last year, but was he just like a normal dude to you guys? Were you guys cool with him? Was there any type of jabbing or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't really talk trash unless somebody talks trash to me, and he didn't really say anything to me, so I was cool with him. I think some of the guys last year might have said something and talked some trash, but I think it's more just him versus Illini fans,
yes.
Illini Nation.
Yes.
You know, it's not necessarily him versus the players. So.
Do you get any of that in Bloomington or West Lafayette?
A lot from my friends, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, growing up in Indiana, it's either Indiana or Purdue for a lot of, you know, regular students. So all my friends that go to either or, they give me a lot of trash.
What would we do without
friends? Do they hate Illinois over there?
It's more of a hatred for each other, but
yeah.
I would definitely say they like to give me a tough time. Yeah, before and after the games, for sure.
That is interesting because, like, Indiana, I cannot stand Indiana.
Yeah.
Just never have been able to stand Indiana, which goes back to the Bobby Knight era for me. Purdue isn't as bad, even though Gene Katie had his moments for sure, and Brian Cardinal came along and beat us, what, 9 straight times. So there's always ways, but just the idea that Purdue and Indiana are so good usually in basketball, I could understand why Purdue fans' number one hatred is to Indiana and vice versa, right? It's got to be obvious.
For sure, yep. In-state rivalry.
In-state. Yep. I love it. 9 or 10, and Big Def asked a question on the U of I line on the text line about 9 or 10 guys. Do you think that translates into a 9 or 10 man rotation? Derek and I broke this down couple of weeks ago where I said I would hate to be Brad Underwood and the staff, in the sense that I would almost wake up with sweat saying, what if I don't have the right guy in at the right time? Because I have so many guys that are good enough, like you said, that could start, could play big minutes. It always works its way out. Normally it works its way out to where you get that 7 or 8 rotation. Can you do a 9 or 10 man rotation, you think, in college basketball?
With the roster that we have, I think you honestly can.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it definitely is going to be tough with time allotment. You know, you only get X amount of time to actually play the players. So, you know, it's going to come down to who's playing well at the time, you know, who's playing well in practice. You know, I think it's for sure possible. You know, even going back to my freshman year, you know, you can go back to games where the players weren't necessarily in the rotation, but they made a big difference.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, Pods against Northwestern, you know, I had a good game against Michigan State, RJ, for a stretch of 3-4 games, you know, and then last year, or whenever it was, 2 years ago, Ben against Purdue. You know, there's just moments that guys can come out and play hard, and that gives them confidence. So when you have that confidence, you know, and guys that are performing at a really high level in practice, you know, that allows them to play for, you know, real minutes and get real time in the game. So I think, you know, a rotation of 9-10 guys is very possible.
People will say, fans will say, why don't we press, right? Because we've got so many guys, you could keep them fresh, kind of do that mentality of West Virginia years ago, where they're, or Arkansas back in the day. I know that's way before you guys. No, I'm kidding. But is there a way without pressing, let's say, to wear other teams down? And is it simply because you can bring on 2 or 3 fresh guys where that guy's been guarding Luke Goody. Now he's got to try to check this guy, and he's got as much energy as anybody, and now he's like, oh my goodness, I'm getting exhausted. Is that kind of the way you can still wear teams down with depth?
Yeah, for sure. Defensive intensity is probably the biggest way you can wear teams down. And by having depth, you can do that. You know, like you said, you bring in three, four guys in a rotation at a time, it's a new 3-4 guys. There's going to be teams out there that we play that have even 6-man rotations, you know, that got 6 seniors or 6 junior-senior combinations that they just stick to that 6 all year, and we're bringing in 3-4 guys per rotation, and it's tough because you get picked up at half court, going over screens,
yes,
fighting over the ball screen, you know, boxing out, and they get that consistently for 40 minutes a game. It's going to be really tough to keep up with fresh legs. So
that would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Luke Goody is our guest, brought to you by some great sponsors. If you got a question for Luke, hit us up, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Align and Link text line. Sorry, Luke, I mean, we're kind of coming at you from all angles here, just firing whatever to mind. But I got to ask you this, and it's really off topic for this year's team, but you mentioned Pods, all right? Pods against Northwestern. I get asked this question all the time, and I just want your perspective, because fans, they're really thrown off on the fact of, you know, he leaves Illinois, he has the success he does at Santa Clara, he is now going to be playing for the Warriors tonight on TNT if he does get in the game. But did that surprise you, what he did after he left here? Like, I think as someone that I follow recruiting, as you know, knew he was a talented shot maker coming out of high school, but you saw him every day in practice. How were you reacting to what the career has been for him since he left?
Yeah, I think, I wasn't surprised at what he did in college, but, you know, people get so caught up on, like, it's Brad's fault, you know, why wasn't he playing? But you got to realize the guards we had on that team. We had Trent Frazier, a fifth-year senior, who was honestly one of the better guards in Illinois basketball history. You had DeMonte, a fifth-year senior. You had Jake, who's been in the program, had a great career at Illinois, and is now playing with his national team in the FIBA World Championships, and Plummer, who's one of the best shooters.
Wow.
Top, like Frey said, top 50 shooters in the country or in the world or whatever. So, you know, I knew Pods was special in practice. I still talk to him to this day. We still stayed in touch, and, you know, I wish him the best and everything. And, you know, he moved on and did his thing. But, you know, people get so caught up with, you know, it's a bad look and stuff. But we had a good team. So,
right. You
know, it's hard. It's hard. That's one of those things you look back on. And you're like, you know, what if? But, you know, I'm excited for him, and hopefully he does get in tonight and, you know, plays well. So
when guys do leave, what is that like from the player's perspective? Like, you've been obviously here and stuck it out, and you've seen a wave of guys go on, and, you know, Sky's at Louisville and Jaden's at Georgetown. Is it a situation where maybe you just don't stay in touch with those guys? Maybe there is certain situations where there's some bad feelings or what have you, but from a player's perspective, just kind of with the – the moving pieces, and you know, some guys aren't happy at the end of the year and they leave. How do you approach that as a player?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you got to recognize they got to do the best for themselves and their family. You know, when it's during the season, everybody's locked in, you know, it's kind of like a family aspect. And when they move on, you got to recognize that it's for their better good. Sure. Or what they think is for their better good. So to me, you know, there's no hard feelings. I think you got to do what you got to do. You only get so much time in college. I've already, you right. know, halfway through my college career, which is crazy to think about. But there's so much time or so little time that you get that you gotta do what you think is right for you. So these guys that move on, it's no hard feelings, no ill will, and I wish them the best. Like the other day, I talked to RJ on the phone for 30 minutes. He watched our scrimmage against Ottawa. I gave him the Big Ten Plus login, like for my family. Like it's still, you know, that's brotherhood. Cool. You know, that's it's cool. Kind of Jaden had his big exhibition game, yeah. Or and you know, a bunch of the teammates talked to him, and you know, Sky I still talk to, and all those guys, you know, they move on for a certain reason, and that reason is not really for us to judge, in my opinion. Yep. So it's one of those things, you know, I wish them the best and just move on with the guys we got.
You mentioned how quick it can go. Any regrets even now about coming back last year?
No regrets. It is what it is. And you know, I think, you know, coming back last year definitely taught me a lot of things, and yeah. I'm going to use that for my next couple of years. So do well with it.
It was awesome that you did. I don't know that we talked to you since Shannon and Coleman decided to come back.
Yep.
What was that like? I think it was the same day. I'm old now, Luke. I can't remember these things, but I know there was a lot of just a wave of good news with Shannon coming back, Coleman coming back, to where all of a sudden, and I want to ask you, on the heels of this, I want to ask you about going from such a young team last year to such an experienced team and what that means. But what was that like to get the news from those two that, hey, we're back?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was on the last day before you had to decide for sure, before the draft deadline or whatever.
Yeah, take so us right
May,
up to
May
the...
May 14th, I think, is the date, or 15th, or whatever it was. So it was back in the summertime, right before we were getting ready to come back to summer workouts. And those guys, I was on the phone with Coleman all day. I was like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, I have no idea. No idea. Terrence, I didn't really talk to. That's kind of, he was doing his own little deal. But Coleman, he was back in California. I was FaceTiming. I was like, bro, come on, please. Like, we need one more year. Come on. Like, NIL, like, we're good. You're good. So, like, we're going to have a special year, bro. So, it was pretty cool to get both those guys back. And, you know, once you got that, you can build on it. So when you bring guys back that have been in the program, especially Coleman, 4 years, and Terrence, a preseason All-American, it's easy to build on. Now you just put pieces in that fit with them. So you got the guys that can score and do what they do, and put guys around them that elevate their game, and they elevate ours. So
that's a great answer. I'll go right now with the young to old. I mean, you know, you had Sky, you had Epps, you were still young. I mean, there were a lot of young RJ. Now you bring in Damask and Harmon and, you know, Guerrier. And, I mean, all of a sudden you guys are like, you guys could be working right now. You know, they could be out of college.
I wouldn't
working.
Recommend it.
Right now, yeah, don't do it. Stay in college as long as possible. What will that mean, not just for, you know, for the camaraderie, if you will? I don't know if that's that big of a deal for a team, but also just playing such a loaded schedule that I know Pipes will ask you about. What's that going to mean to have just the veterans that you guys and the experience?
Yeah, they've been through it. That's the biggest thing, is they've experienced a lot of different situations. Justin being a fifth-year guy, playing in JUCO, you know, one of the lower levels of basketball, to Utah Valley, and they played in the NIT last year at a high level. So he's been almost at every level. You know, they played those big schools throughout the year. So he's done it. Marcus has done it at a very high level. Quincy has played for 2i. This is his third high major school. So when you have that much experience, road games, it's not as bad. You know, those freshmen walk out and there's 18,000 people cheering for the other team, talking trash, talking, doing all that. And it's different. You know, you can't hear anything. And sometimes the freshmen, the young guys get caught up with it. And these guys have been through it. So it's nice. And practice is so crisp. And, like, everything we do in practice is just efficient. You know, as freshmen, you have to explain everything to them. And this year it's like the freshmen can learn from what they're watching, basically. So Draven and Amani, they're watching practice and, like, learning what they need to do by watching the guys in front of them, not as much as stopping practice and having to go through everything like last year with mostly of a freshman team and a young team. So there's not as much explanation this year. Guys know what they're doing, and it's very efficient in practice and stuff like that. So
before I do ask about the schedule, you mentioned the freshman. I probably should ask you about those guys. Amani had a pretty productive Spain, and then also on Friday night, 14 points, 12 rebounds in like 14 to 16 minutes. Pretty good. Draven, 15 points, I know that Brad's spoken pretty highly of Nico's ability to see the floor and everything. What are you seeing out of those three guys?
Yeah, those guys are special. Monty and Dre, they're special talents. Draven can score the ball. Like, one of the better scorers I've seen since I've been here, like, that's been on the team. He's just a pure scorer. He can, I mean, in practice, it's hard to, it stinks to guard him on the scout team, for sure. And then Amani's great. You know, all he does is produce. He's just a hard worker. He's undersized, but his arms, his wingspan is really long, and he's a very physical player. So he does what he does, and he rebounds and scores the ball. And, you know, Dre's one of the more gifted scorers I've seen since, you know, I've been playing at Illinois. So they've got bright futures, and I'm excited to see how they can progress throughout the season.
A few more minutes here with Luke Goody on the drive with Tay and Piper. Marquette's about less than a month away. Wow. Of course, you're going to see Kansas this weekend. You've got Tennessee. You've got FAU. I mean, between Marquette, FAU, Tennessee, those are three top 10 teams. You'll see Michigan State twice. You'll see Purdue twice. Other top 10 teams. What do you make of this schedule, man?
Can't wait. It's exciting. It's, you know, it's what you come to these schools to play for and play against. You're looking forward to playing against these teams. You know, we don't leave, I think, State Farm Center all in November. So we get to play Marquette at home, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be a great game. And then, you know, we got some other mid-major teams that we're going to get to play that are good, too. Colgate is a good team.
Yes.
Yeah. Oakland is really good. I think they're going to be picked top of their conference. So we got some good tests coming up in November. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Even, you know, like I said, the mid-major teams, it's going to be some good games this year. So yeah. It's going to prepare us for the postseason. So
sure.
I'm excited to play these good teams. It's going to show us where we're at, what we need to work on. And it's good that we start with Kansas, too, because, you know, we go from Ottawa, who wasn't the greatest, and, you know, you go straight into Kansas, and you can see, okay, this is a reality check. Now we're going to know what we need to work on. So I'm excited to, you know, see how the team reacts to that.
Do you think you guys are going to – I mean, this is going to sound like a dumb question, but yeah. – Do everything you can to win against Kansas.
Oh yeah,
like that,
yeah. It doesn't matter. It's not going on that. Yeah, it's not going on the record.
Yada yada.
We're gonna go out there and play as hard as we can. We want to win this game.
Yeah,
for sure. If that's what you're asking, we want to go out there and win this game.
All right.
Because there will be like a completely full gym too.
I would
completely sell out gym. So we're excited for that.
Outside of State Farm Center, what's the best venue you've played in so far? You've played in a number of them. I know you played at Indiana. You got to play at Purdue late last year. You'll get to play in the Garden this year. I know you get to do that last year. But what would you say is your favorite outside of State Farm Center?
Yeah, so IU and Purdue, those are obvious choices. Rutgers is a big one too. But the craziest atmosphere I've been in, the one that I loved, was the Milwaukee Bucks Pfizer V against Marquette my freshman year. That was the loudest game. That's when they stole the ball from Trent at half court and Tyler Kolek shot the layup. That was the loudest atmosphere I've been in since I played at Illinois.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
We owe them, by the way.
We do.
Before I get to the Maui jersey, I was in Maui watching that game with two Marquette fans, and I was like, we cannot lose to Marquette today, and then it happened.
Yep.
So we ended up still having a pretty good day in Maui. But the other day I get on Game Day Spirit, and there is a Luke Goody Maui jersey.
Yep.
Does that ever get old to see something like that, to see your name as you know, it's $100, you know, but whatever the case, does that ever get old to just see that?
It doesn't. It's pretty cool. It's surreal. You know, you go to the game and you're warming up and you see jerseys with your last name on it. It's pretty cool. It's a blessing to see that. The Hawaii jerseys are pretty cool because usually those jerseys, we get a percent of it, but the percentage that we're getting is going straight to the charity.
Awesome.
So the whole game is a charity fund. You know, the $100, it might be a lot of money, but it's going towards the right thing. So it's not going to us, it's going to the charity fund for people that need it way more than we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do have $100 to spend and want to get a jersey, it doesn't matter whose you buy, you know, it's all going to the same place. So, we hope, you know, a lot of people show up and buy the jerseys and we can donate to the charity.
That's very
great cause. Great sponsor of our show, Game Day Spirit. Definitely check them out.
Amen.
GameDaySpirit.com. One more quick one. Cause it came to my mind when we were talking about a little bit NIL. So there's a lot being made about an NCAA football game that might be coming out once again. Mm-hmm. And there's talk of some players wouldn't feel like they get enough of a cut of their share to make, you know, their likeness in there. If there was a say a College Hoops 2K returning. How much would you like that? Would you care how much money you got to be in that game?
That's a good question. I love the game so much. I'll say, you use my name, my number, whatever. Just make the game. Give me the game for free. That's all I'd want. Yeah. Give me the game for free and we're good. Yeah, you got my name and number and likes and all the rights and everything. I just want the game for free because that's pretty cool.
Would a lot of players just kind of, not to obviously name names or anything, but just you've been around a lot of basketball players. Do you think that a lot of people would think the same way as you on that front? Or would some say they would want?
I think some of them would want their money for
sure.
Yeah. But I think probably most of them would. But I remember playing those games on the Wii back when I was in elementary school in like fourth grade, playing like college basketball in 07 or something like that, 08, stuff like that. So I'd be pretty cool if it would come back and I'd be in the game. That'd be sweet.
I just can't imagine how cool it'd be to show your kids one and your grandkids, you know, like, hey, you're playing me right now. By the way,
you can't let them win.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, 1.5-year-old, he's not winning anything.
Does your mom have like 7 million jerseys of you? Just like, does your house in Indiana just have like a man cave with goody jerseys everywhere?
There are a lot of jerseys in our basement. Yeah, I just got the freshman year one framed with the net from the Big Ten championship game. So it's got that in there.
Sweet.
Pretty cool. I'm going to get my sophomore year one framed and got an Indiana All-Star jersey, stuff like that. And then she did something cool. So for my high school graduation, she kept all my AAU tournament shirts. They would buy a shirt at every AAU tournament and she cut them. I had them cut out and made into a blanket.
Oh, cool.
So there's a blanket over my like bed at home.
That's
and
cool.
And it's all the shirts growing up from like literally 2008 until 20, whenever I stopped playing AAU, 2018-19. There's like EYBL to like local Spies Indy Heat tournaments. So it's crazy. It's
pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I have all the jerseys from growing, all the Team Teague jerseys, Jeff Teague sponsored team, all of them. So there's a lot of basketball jerseys at my house.
Do you take a moment when you go back for Christmas, you know, after the Missouri game or whatever, do you take a moment when everybody's in bed to just kind of go down there and reflect? And you still got a lot to do here. We need some more nets. We need some more goody with nets.
Exactly. I like that.
You take a moment to just kind of sit by yourself, maybe with your dog, and just say, you know, it's been a pretty cool run so far.
For sure. I love doing that. I'm looking back kind of on the path that I've taken because it's been a lot different than a lot of people. So it's pretty cool, though, to see all the jerseys and stuff. But there's a lot left to do. So we got to win more championships here, right?
Let's go. This Sounds is going to be a fun
I,
year,
I
man.
I look forward to covering it. Look forward to having you on every week, as always. So thanks for joining us and doing it again this year. And can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Great stuff. Luke Goody, once again, brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com and by Carpenters Local 243. Going to catch a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA with Matt Cilic.
Let's go.
Our resident NBA expert. Got the association tipping off tonight. Talk about that next. This is The Drive.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Frask International in Urbana is a legacy founded in 1958 by aviation pioneer Rudy Frasca with a mission of improving safety in the skies. Would you like to make a difference in your job? Frasca is looking for an accountant, a CNC machinist, manufacturing and electrical engineer, and customer service support. Positions for software, aeronautical, mechanical engineer, and machine shop finisher are also available. Positions include an extraordinary benefits package. As an equal opportunity employer, you can learn more at Nebraska.com/careers.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc. Fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gale Ferrix Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth, as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gale Ferrix Trucking. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
Fighting Illini football is back in Memorial Stadium for Dad's Day and Military Appreciation Day, Saturday, November 11th, as they take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Get tickets for as low as $20 as we celebrate dads for this proud Illinois tradition. All active military personnel are eligible to receive free tickets. Be in your seat early for a special military flyover. Illinois football versus Indiana, Saturday, November 11th. Get tickets and more info at fightingillini.com.
Stevie J Broadcasting is proud to be a part of the Disability Resource Expo coming to Marketplace Mall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th. Up to 100 exhibitors will share information and answer questions regarding resources available to enhance the lives of people with disabilities and seek advice in reaching out for answers. The expo is free and open to the public. Visit disabilityresourceexpo.org.
We've got friends and family running, and at our Champaign location, we're doing 20% off for anybody that comes in, and it's a great time to get home finished before the holidays. It's like, get the furniture before Thanksgiving dinner, before Christmas, maybe the family's coming over to your house, so we've decided to run our friends and family promotion. We just got all new sectionals, so if you walk into the store, it looks like a different store.
Ashley Home Store, friends and family sale, 20% off.
702 Anthony Drive in Champaign.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Starla Carr with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan in place, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation at 217-366-3456. Or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, or registered investment advisor.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials, tools, as well as safety equipment, all available at Crossroads Contractor Supply. Visit CrossroadsContractorSupplyIL.com.
The best steaks in Central Illinois belong to one institution, and that's the Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. I'm Jay Lehman. I'm a regular at Long Branch Steakhouse. I take my wife. I take my kids. I love the fried pickles, fried mushrooms, the onion rings, and, of course, the steaks. The ribeye is my personal favorite. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9. Tell Donnie Jay Lehman sent you. Don't forget the mac and cheese. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 in downtown Gifford.
Tapman's Towing is looking for you. If you want a career with a great local company, it's Tapman's Towing, paying top dollar for experience. If you have an excellent driving record, good oral and written communication skills, are willing to work hard and want to be paid top dollar, visit tapmanstowing.com. Tapman's is looking for CDL drivers, record drivers, and dispatchers. Work with a local company that rewards hard work. Tapman's Towing. Visit tapmanstowing.com to apply today. Tapman's Towing.
Look out, Hans D. I'm coming into the DJ business.
He's got a pretty cool name, though, for his...
I know, the Flight Crew.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
That's pretty bad.
And he's already an A-lister, like on A-list parties, so you're going to have a hard time catching him. I'd let
Maybe
that
I
go.
Shouldn't have taken a shot.
No, I'd
up
let
a
that
weight
go.
Class. All right, fine. I take it back.
Are you like the Walter weight or Welter weight, Walter, whatever that is?
Walter.
I don't think it's Walter.
Walter White.
I don't think a dude has a weight. Where's Ahmad Rashad coming out with his football background talking NBA basketball? Yeah. Never quite understood that one. No. Never did. He was good, though.
Bob Costas on these calls back in the day.
Oh, man. Matt Cilic is like, what is this music? I've never even heard it. He's too young.
No.
Matt, you're too young for this, Matt.
Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line, bring in our guy, Matt Cilic. What's up, man?
I'm not too young for this. How's it going, guys? For me, it's going great. This is, you know, it's basically Christmas morning right now for me, Christmas early afternoon. You know, NBA season starts tonight, kicks off with a couple of good matchups. And it's the best time of the year. Plus, I, you know, last couple of years, been getting really back into baseball, really enjoying former Cardinal Adelis Garcia's exploit.
What in the hell?
Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Really been enjoying that in this postseason. It's been a good time as a Cubs fan. I'm feeling not good about my team, but I at least am enjoying some, what's the German? It's Schadenfreude, laughing at other people's pain. I'm enjoying doing that, at least.
Wow.
He came out hot.
He did.
He came out really hot. All right, I'm going to put you in a corner, and you can either say, I'd rather not answer, or just go with it. Do you wager? Like, do you have like FanDuel or any one of those? And if so, do you just geek out on NBA stuff?
Oh, those days are behind me. Yeah, I used to think I was smarter than Las Vegas, you know, the place with all the big tall buildings funded by idiots like us. Those shiny buildings, they're shiny for a reason. Yeah, I used to partake quite a bit, especially, you know, like a few years back in my college years, but a few years ago, listen, from time to time, an occasional wager, absolutely. I like doing my win total over-unders every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend who went to Vegas and placed it for me. I had a futures bet on Spencer Strider to win the NL Cy Young this year. And it looked good for a while, and then he blew it at the end. But I think I've moved past it a little bit for NBA because, one, listen, I'm not smarter than they are. I'd like to think that I am, but I'm just not. but listen, if you got the money to burn it a little bit, and you know you enjoy adding some stakes to your watching every night, like I certainly think it's worthwhile.
I agree. It makes the it can make a game, especially like the NBA, and you guys know this. I'm not the biggest NBA fan, so for me, if I knew like there was a game on tonight. It would like the Warriors. I love watching the Warriors, so I wouldn't have to wager a Warriors game. But if there I probably will. But if there was another game that maybe I didn't have much interest in, it's kind of cool because I feel like it helps me learn not learn the game, but, you know, learn more about the NBA. So I think that's cool. All right, Pipes, you go with
a million percent.
Yeah, 100%.
No, I do totally agree with that. I think the NBA lends itself well to, like, player prop bets because it's such a player's league. You know, it's nice to be able to say, like, okay, like, I'm going to go for, you know, Jason Tatum.
Exactly.
35 points, rebounds, and assists in the first half or something like that. You know, like, whatever you want to do. That seems like it would be a crazy bet. But, yeah, whatever you want to do, I think it lends well. It gives you something to watch for on a given night, which is nice, especially in a long regular season like the NBA, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah. All the drama in the offseason has been about how long the season is. It's nice to have that as kind of a way to keep things excited.
I definitely would never make those kind of wagers, but I do like LeBron James over 5.5 assists tonight because you look back at last season's matchup against the Nuggets. He had like 7, 9, 9, and 10 in that series, the four games they got swept.
Not that you know that.
I just know that off the top of my head. Yeah.
By the way, I love you ripping the Cardinals and then throwing Tatum in as the example, knowing that, I mean, you're just on a roll right now, Cilic. On a roll.
I'm coming from the St. Louis area right now. Yeah. Anyone and everyone is at risk.
What are we looking forward to this season? What's the one thing, you know, can Denver repeat? What is the one kind of thing that you're looking for before Pipes gets nitty gritty with you?
Oh, sorry. It cut off just a little bit in the middle of that question. Could you repeat that one?
Well, what is the one kind of major, like, you know, kind of a bigger thing that you're looking for out of the NBA before Derek kind of gets nitty gritty with some questions? What's one thing that you're kind of looking forward to this season?
Yeah, I think overall it's got to be just like, you know, to me, I think it's the star movement in the East is the most interesting thing. And you look at some of the top teams in the East, I think you're talking about Boston, you're talking about Milwaukee, and you're talking about Philadelphia. I wouldn't put them in the top three of the Eastern teams right now. If they get a committed Harden back, and that's the star movement I'm talking about, then maybe they kind of, you know, catapult back toward that conversation. And if they have to trade Harden after whatever this situation is resolves itself, okay, well then now, like, that's movement in and of itself that is interesting, and it also changes the course, you know, for them going forward and potentially changes the course of how Embiid is going to handle the next few years. So I think star movement there, obviously talked about Philly, but, you know, there's the obvious ones too. Milwaukee, they get Dame, they leave Drew. Drew Holiday is one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I think that's a very common sentiment, so maybe he's not as underrated as he used to be, especially after that great title run with Milwaukee. But I think it still stands. I mean, people just don't care as much about defense first players like Drew Holiday. And I think there is potential. I'm not saying I believe this, because I believe Damian Lillard is a better player than Drew Holiday. But I think there's potential for some slippage from Milwaukee, especially in the regular season. Going to Dame and kind of losing a little bit of their depth in the process. I'm really curious to watch how that plays out. And then lastly, I think you have to talk about the Celtics too, because they go ahead and go get that guy who I just called one of the most underrated players in the NBA, Drew Holiday. Add him to their great roster, which has already got some star talent. They have even more, I think, offensive talent than Milwaukee does, and that makes Drew Holiday an even better fit. You know, and on top of that, obviously they pull in Porzingis to be their kind of center of the next couple of years here, with Horford coming off the bench. I think those teams, to me, the Celtics are probably the favorite to be the best team in the league this year. I think it's hard to pick another team, but the Bucks won the most games in the regular season of any team last year. Of course, they slammed out in the playoffs. So I think the top of the East is most interesting to me. The West is just such a mess of a bunch of really solid teams that you're just not sure how it's going to play out. But I think I'm almost finding it less interesting this year than that top of the East.
Matt, I noticed that you didn't mention the Bulls as one of those top teams in the East.
Tip of my tongue. Yeah, tip of my tongue.
Before we move on, what do you make of them? Are they just kind of same old, mediocrity, maybe one of those bottom seeds in the playoffs? But what's the direction there, you think, for Chicago?
Yeah, it's kind of exhausting, right? Because it feels like it's like the second or third year in a row that we're like, all right, they've got this core. And we know this core is like, the floor is like 35 to 40 wins. That's the floor. Because they've got DeRozan, they've got Vooch, they've got Levine. So that's the floor. And it's like, what player is going to step up, or what creative acquisition can they make that's going to make the difference that brings them to the next level? And I don't think it's going to happen this season. If it happens with anyone, it would probably have to be, I mean, at this point, it probably has to be like a Kobe White or Pat Williams, right? Pat Williams, obviously the more obvious pick, but I think Kobe White showed enough down the stretch of last season that, like, if he steps into a starting role at at some point this year, if not right away. That's potentially interesting. Maybe just Alex Caruso staying healthy all year, does that bring them to that next level up? You know, he's played, like, I think 50 games or so, something like that, most of the past few years here. So there's some small things like that. I mean, at this point, they are kind of in that treadmill of mediocrity type of space in the NBA, but that doesn't mean there's no hope for the future at all. I think the question is, you know, basically as it has been the last couple of years, right? They've got a high floor. They're going to be in a position to either go in on it at the deadline and try to make, you know, sort of the back end of the playoffs, or potentially up to, I think they can get as high as the 6th seed if everything breaks right, maybe the 5. But they're not on the same level as the Cavs, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Knicks. I think all those teams are better. The Heat, you know, all those teams are probably better. So yeah, it's more of the same for the Bulls. If they do decide to sell, you could look to see a DeRozan trade this year. I think it could make a lot of sense. They've extended Vooch, so that suggests maybe they're not going to go that direction. But yeah, I think that's probably what you're looking for, is like, if they want to try to reset, it's trading DeRozan or it's trading LaVine. And I don't think they do. So I think they're going to keep at it and hope that Pat Will or our good friend Ayodele or Kobe White breaks out and becomes a player that can elevate this team.
Matt Cilich is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at @mcilich2. Before we circle back to the games tonight, I do want to ask you, the Bulls in the opener are taking on the OKC Thunder. It seems like that might be one of the more intriguing teams in the league going into this season. Is this the right time for the Thunder to really take off? We know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's really good. Chet's now healthy. Can they live up to the hype this year, or do you think maybe it's a year too soon?
Yeah, you know, I think it all hinges on Chet. I think Chet Holmgren is going to be the key to whether they end up having this be the year they break out into that, you know, middle 40 wins, high 40 wins conversation, or if they kind of stay, or they were at 40 last year, I believe. Do they slide back a little bit? You know, I think that's possible if Chet still needs some seasoning, but he is coming off a year where he's, you know, sort of been in the weight room, so to speak, in a professional weight room all year. Obviously, that was a huge concern for him coming out of college, is, you know, holding up at the NBA level. So if he's able to hold up, if he's able to perform at the level we saw from him at times in college, I think they're a threat to win 45, somewhere maybe getting up toward 50 games. And, you know, everything breaks right. Some of the role players they have, like the Jalen Williamses of the world, you know, can they get those guys to reach their potential? OKC is just a really strong organization. So if you're asking me to bet on whether they have, you know, long-term success, I'm going to bet yes. And I think there is also the factor that, as much as we say, like, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, can he take the leap? There's an argument that he already has, you know, that he's already sort of in the conversation among the top 10 or 15 players in the entire league. And I don't think many people who don't watch the NBA on a nightly or a very regular basis really know that. But yeah, I think it's hard to say that they don't have the pieces together, but it's just, do they gel this year or next year? I probably lean slightly towards one more year at that sort of mid-level range. I wouldn't be surprised if they break out.
Matt, the opener tonight, the first one of the season, being is the Denver Nuggets at home against the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know I'm not to focus in on one game of 82, but kind of maybe bigger picture for both of these teams is, like, is Denver well equipped to repeat potentially? And on the Lakers side of things, that was a team that got hot down the stretch of last year. They did get swept against the Nuggets, but do you think this Lakers squad can put LeBron in a situation to get back in the finals?
Yeah, you know, I like some of the additions that the Lakers made. I feel like ever since the sort of catastrophic moves related to Russell Westbrook, they've actually rebounded fairly well and put a real roster around LeBron and Anthony Davis. I like Reeves, obviously. He had a really strong playoff run last year. We'll see if he performs the same way when sort of the spotlight is more on him, as not a focal point of their offense, right? Obviously, you have AD and LeBron, but maybe that he's that third option right now. D'Angelo Russell also has potential to be that guy. But, you know, they added Gabe Vincent and Christian Wood. Again, those are like very, very small bit player names. But those are guys who can play basketball. And a lot of these teams at the top of the West and the East, when you have two stars like James and Davis, a lot of those teams don't have that kind of depth even, you know, just quality players up and down the roster. The Lakers seem to have found that and kind of reinforced their depth a little bit this year. I think it bodes better for the regular season. In the playoffs, I think, you know, LeBron is LeBron. Anthony Davis can be Anthony Davis when he's healthy. I certainly think that there's potential for this team to be good. In terms of Denver, I'm not worried about Denver at all. You have the best player in the league. Obviously, there's some arguments for some others, but I think, to me, best player in the league, won the title last year. they might take a little bit off this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see sort of that championship hangover in the regular season. But I like it in terms of, you know, playoff potential for that team. I think they're one of the five or so true title contenders in the league that doesn't have anything more to show me. The Lakers, I put them in sort of that middle of the West group right now. But if they show me something in the regular season and they stay healthy throughout the year, which is a big ask, I think they could elevate to that top level by the end of the season.
Last one for you, Matt. The other game tonight, the Warriors and Suns, has a little bit of a brewing rivalry dynamic. I know that Devin Booker and Klay Thompson last year were kind of at each other's throats. Of course, you got the former Warrior and Kevin Durant. You know, they've obviously made big moves to get Bradley Beal as well. What do you make of this one, both tonight and kind of big picture for both these teams?
Yeah, I think if you're watching tonight, I think in terms of Golden State, you're probably watching to see how Chris Paul fits in with this team. Obviously, he's also a former Sun here, so that'll be kind of interesting. But yeah, you're probably looking to see what does he bring to this operation that obviously has been running the way they've been running for the last, more than 10 years now, I think, the Steph career in Golden State, right? And it's been successful almost that entire time. I think you want to see how that big new piece in Chris Paul fits in. And obviously, I think, you know, for the future, it's like, does that guy stay healthy? Does this team stay healthy? It's really the only question you can have about them at this point. We know exactly what the Warriors are going to give to us on a day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year basis at this point. It's just, are they going to be healthy for the playoffs? And then do things break right for them and they perform at their best? For Phoenix, obviously, it's like the exact opposite. This whole roster turned over. Obviously, they had some of these pieces last year, but it's a completely different dynamic without Paul. Now you have Point Book or Point Beal or whatever. Beal seems like he's unlikely to play tonight, so we won't necessarily get to see the team at full strength. We'll see. It sounds like it's like still maybe a game-time decision. I think with that team, I'm looking at Devin Booker. I think that we kind of know what Kevin Durant is. I think the role players around these guys are decent. They should be enough to keep the team afloat. The season is going to hinge on, one, does Devin Booker say, I am actually a top five, top 10 level player in the league, and I can be that in the point guard position too with more ball handling responsibilities. And then two, you know, health. It's just classic. A lot of these teams, they just have aging vets. Guys like Durant, if he's healthy when it comes time for playoffs, there's only a few players in the league you'd rather have than that dude. But he hasn't been healthy the last few years, and sure enough, you know, his teams have kind of faltered. So, yeah, I think in terms of tonight, should just be a really fun matchup. Should be fast-paced. Looking to see Devin Booker cook a little bit and Steph Curry, obviously, on the other end as well.
Let's go, man. NBA has begun, and the happiest guy in the world is Matt Cilic. Matt, we always appreciate you coming on, even with the digs today. So we probably won't talk to you again, but it was fun for you to be on for a last time here on The Drive.
Yeah, and this is all part of those contract negotiations we were talking about before the call. You know, I've been kind of asking for more money for this gig for a while now, so I figured I'd just go out and play the story.
Yeah, because I texted Matt during the Luke Goody interview, and I'm like, hey, Luke's on, and he's kind of going long. Do you mind if we get you later? And he's like, oh, of course. So we totally deserve, I do, the digs. Matt, well done, my friend. You've learned well.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great night.
All right, thanks, buddy. Matt. Great to hear your voice, man. Matt Cilic. Love that
good
kid.
Stuff.
And he loves the NBA, and here we go.
Yeah.
We may have to make a wager.
I have made probably many, but we'll make some more. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we got to do a parlay for me.
Of course. Of course.
Because those parlays always win. Oh, my God. Last night, I just needed is it Mattson or Madison?
Madison.
I just needed a Madison touchdown to cash in on a pretty big parlay because it was boosted by Gronk. He's my guy. I called him. I'm like, can you boost this? And so they get down to the one-yard line, and they do the tush push twice. They go nowhere. Kirk Cousins is not exactly the quarterback I would picture.
Not tush push material.
No. And then the second one, he comes away without the ball. Like, the ball is somewhere in the center's stomach or something. And I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to be cool like everybody else? Hand the ball off like you should. I don't know. I don't know. Do you know how many quarterbacks scored touchdowns this week? I mean, did your boy, not your boy, but from the Colts scored four, I think. Didn't he? Or he scored like two or three running touchdowns.
Minshew?
Yeah.
Did he really?
He had at least two.
Wow, man.
Jalen Hurts had one. I mean, it was nonstop. Dobbs had one from the Cardinals. I think there were like 15 quarterbacks that scored this week.
Wow.
You could have won a lot of money doing that.
I would say so.
What a show.
It was fun.
That was great.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
NBA in action tonight. Make sure.